this message. Let me just get this hooked up right here on my side. Jesus, pray for me. Pray for me. Okay, so I want to get right into this. We're going to be in the book of Matthew, but I'm going to go ahead and turn this off. And I want to get right into this message, amen? And I had titled it Vision for 2020, amen? Can you guys hear me? Is it on? Can you hear me? Because I need you to hear me. Vision for 2020 was my title to the message. How many know that we're coming into a new year, right? And so that's what we think we're coming into the new year, but we've already come into a new year. If we go by the Hebrew calendar, which I'm going to be speaking off some of the Hebrew calendar, they've already entered in September was our new year. So the reason why I'm saying that the things are going to start happening fast, it already started. You know, if you start looking around and the things that's going on, it's already started. I have to take this earring off. Told me not to wear these earrings. So what I want to say is that if we're going to take a look, I brought a couple of things, and I want you to, I'm going to probably change what I'm going to be saying, but this morning I was running out of my house, and I grabbed this backpack, right? And so when you see a backpack, right away you see that there's stuff in this backpack, right? So the Lord had reminded me, go get your backpack. And you could think whatever right now what's in the backpack or what I'm going to say about the backpack right away. Because then our mind starts to start thinking, right? And then God told me, go back and get this. And these are just notes that I've had from years and years and years. And so I went and got that back. And then he woke me up and he reminded me of this little book. And so I'm going to kind of put it together because we're talking about vision. And what the Lord showed me in this, I looked up the word vision. And so I'm going to just, if you could follow me, and I'm asking God through the Holy Spirit to keep me on track here because of what he's giving me so much. I'm the type of person that I get up and I read every day. I read, read, read. I'm going to encourage you to read this year, to read your Bible. Read it. If you don't have a Bible, let me know and I will get you a Bible. Because we're in a really scary time. I want to say that we are in a really scary time. If you're not a believer, this is the best time you could be serving God. Amen. So if you're a believer, this is, and I know some of you are not going to understand, but I'm talking to the believer and the unbeliever. And by the time you listen to this, I'm praying and asking God that you will have vision for 2020 as he's given me vision for 2020. So if you look at vision means the act or power of seeing. So we have vision, right? We're seeing. It's sight. We all have sight. So I want to ask you, what is your vision for 2020? If you think about 2020, what is 2020? Vision. And what kind of vision do we have? Most of us, 2020 vision. And then sometimes we don't. We use these little things right here, right? So we have our eyes checked, and our eyes, as we get older, we start using these glasses. But the Lord showed me that I went to go not too long ago. So I wanted new glasses, and they're just reading glasses, that my vision was 20/20. I have perfect vision. And I'm thinking, you know, because I could see the little real small letters, you know, from when he goes, wow, you have good vision. But yet I still have to wear these for reading. So I don't understand that one. It goes on to saying that we have special senses by which the quality of an object. So we could see things clear. We could look at the shape and we could look at the size. It says constituting in an appearance or preserved through a process. So when you go get your eyes, you know, looked at, there's a process that you go through, right? They look at your eyes. They put the light rays in your eyes. It's entering your eye. And then it's being transformed by the retina into an electrical signal that transmits to the brain, which is the optical nerve. So there's a process that you go through when you go to see an eye doctor. So the Lord took me to this scripture here. Now I'm going to tell you, it's, some of you are very well-seasoned Christians. We're well-seasoned. We know the word of God. But I'm praying that God will show you something, because if we're well-seasoned Christians, we've been through a lot. Our job is to bring in unbelievers, right? Souls. So if we could go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 6, 6:22. And if you have a Bible, please pull it out. I'm an old school. I don't have no iPad. I don't look at, the phone and all that. I look into the Bible. So bring your Bibles. Open up your Bibles to Matthew 6:22. And so as I was looking up the word vision, and I was looking up, and so God took me here a long time ago when I was a very young Christian. I was seeking God. When he gave me this scripture, and I'm sure that those of you that know this scripture, it opened up my eyes. It really opened up my eyes. So Matthew chapter 6:22, it says, the lamp of the body is the eye. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be filled with light. Amen? So you got that one? So it's the eye, the lamp, the lens, what we see. If this eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Verses 23. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be filled of darkness. So how could you have a bad eye? How could we have a bad eye? If we could see, and we have good vision, 20/20 vision, and we could see, how could we have a bad eye? And I was thinking how, you know, when this revelation that God gave me with this, when the light goes on, then you could see. How many know that we're in darkness? I was once blind. Was anybody blind? Is anybody blind right now? Right? I'll tell you, the people that are blind right now are the people that don't know Jesus Christ. Those people are blind. I was blind, but now I see. Amen? So I fall under this, that I was once blind, but now I see. And when I was thinking about this, that, you know, when you're looking at a vision for 2020, does anybody have a vision for your new year? Has anybody thought about the new year? Has anybody read anything? Have you heard anything? Have you listened to prophecies? Are you listening to anything? So, you know, when God is giving out dreams, visions, you know, we could have a vision right here where you're sitting. You could see me and have a vision. And what God is doing in this hour, he's showing us the dreams and visions. And we could have a supernatural, there could be a supernatural appearance to you. A supernatural thing can happen to you. But I think what happens is that we in the church body, we could get so lazy and we want everybody else to do it for us and tell us. Amen. I'm just saying. I don't know. I'm just saying for myself, but that's what I see. It says that a vision that God will give you, supernatural, it tells revelation. So if you know vision, you know eye, you know the lamp of the eye is the body, and if it's good, what is it saying there? I don't know if you understand what it's saying there, but I'm going to share that with you. And it goes on to saying that a vision could be a thought, a concept, an object formed by an imagination. I had a couple of visions, and they've come to pass. God spoke to me, it's come to pass. But I had these visions, and I went after it. So if God is giving you a vision in this hour, I'm telling you, get your pens and pencils out and start writing down what God is talking to you about. He wants to wake you up in the midnight hour. I don't know if anybody's getting up. It's not just to get up, it's to pray. He wants you to pray. He wants a closer relationship with him. You could say you got a close relationship, but if I could see all this chaotic stuff going on, how close is our relationship with God? Okay, so I'm a woman of God. I believe in God. I trust in God with all my heart. But why would this happen to me? Why would something devastating happen to me? Well, why not? As long as I know who I am in Christ, I'm going to be able to stand. I'm only standing up here because I know who I am in God. If I did not know who I was in God, I would be in pieces right now at the hospital with my husband crying and, you know, going through all kinds of changes. But see, me and my husband, we have peace. And so God wants to give you peace in this hour. He wants you to understand why these things happen to us. Why are these devastation things happening to us? And there's things that are happening right now. So the Lord told me to remind you, people are going to die still before January 1st. People are going to get sick. People are going to get saved. People are going to get new jobs. People are going to get new homes. People, there's all things that are happening. We still haven't ended the year. So the Lord told me to expect some stuff to happen before the end of the year. So our year ends the 31st, which is Wednesday. So expect these things to happen. And why do these things happen? you know, we ask God, why do these things happen? It goes on to say, and I want to finish this about the eye and the senses that we have, the vision, that God wants to give you vision, and to be able to see. And, you know, we could say that, oh, I could see, I know everything. No, you don't, please, I'm just telling you. So I come across this book. How many have heard of Helen Keller? Helen Keller. I like to read. I found this book for 10 cents at a yard sale or something. Oh, my God, I'm like this, Lord Jesus. You know, I love books. I can't even understand. But I came across Helen Keller's book and the life, and she was blind. She was born blind. But she found the Lord in this time of her being blind. I was not blind. When I came into this world, I was not blind. I didn't find the Lord till way later. But this would be a good, if you ever want to read a good book and you want to go to the next level with yourself, try to meet somebody that's really blind and has a good life and has joy and peace and sound mind, and somebody that was truly born blind. It goes on to saying that we have a vision. I'm going to use this as an example. You could have a vision. I'm going to talk about someone that builds, an architect. In his mind, he could see that building, and so he's going to write it and draw it out. How about a woman with clear vision? She knows what she wants. She knows what she wants to do, and she goes after it. Sometimes we write down, you know, whatever that we want to do. Or then there's a vision that would come like an idea, like Christ's vision. God will give you a vision. And so with that, the Lord reminded me of the visions that he gave me with the Angelus Temple, about me getting married, about the church, about this building, about way back when. I write everything. I write everything down. And the Lord told me to tell you this morning to start writing things down and plan out your year. Because this is ridiculous. We can't come in this year doing the same thing over and over, sitting in the same seats and hoping and wishing and wanting. You got to make that change. Just saying, God said to say this. Heavenly Father, I just come to you right now, Father God. I just ask you that the minds and the spirits and the souls will be opened up of your sons and daughters here. I ask anything that's not of you, Father God, even the thoughts that they would just park it outside in the parking lot. You are our teacher. So I invite you, Holy Spirit, that you teach us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go back to, I want to go back and read. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full. And from there, let's go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, 36. And the reason why this could be very elementary to some, and just like when we started doing this Bible study at Margie's house, I want to encourage you women to come out to Bible studies if you're not involved in a Bible study. But we were doing the Proverbs 31 woman. And as I went and I got the book and I looked, I said, oh, this is so elementary. What are we going to do with this Bible study? You know, and I gave it to Margie and I said, Margie, take a look at this, because I'm a seasoned Christian. And oh, my God, this is such an easy book. And it's so, and I said, it's an elementary book. I'm telling you, that book, it has been such an amazing Bible study. I don't care how elementary that I thought it was, God brought some stuff out in that book. So come out. John 8:36 says, and therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I'm talking about our vision, and I'm talking about our eyesight. So if God has made you free, you shall be free indeed. Are we free here today? Is anybody in captivity right now? And if you don't know, you'll know by the time I finish this message if you're free or not. See, I've been set free. And he says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. The Son, Jesus Christ, that you shall be free indeed. And then he goes on to saying that Revelation 1:8, it says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. So Jesus is saying this, I am the Alpha, the Omega, and I am the beginning and the end. So we have to understand that this is all about Jesus. Everything is all about Jesus. But in this hour, when he was talking to his when he was talking to the disciples in the book of Matthew, telling them about the eye, he was teaching them, and he was telling them about the eye. But now he's telling them who he is, so that if you have to understand, he says that he is the Alpha and the Omega, Revelation 1:8. So if he's the Alpha and the Omega, that means that he's an eternal God. He's forever. That's what that's saying, because I remember doing a study that even though he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Hebrew word doesn't say that. He says that he's an eternal God. So to me, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, is eternal anyway. It didn't make any sense, but that's what it means to me. He's an eternal God. It goes on to saying John 8, 58 and 59. Was that the next one that I had up there? John chapter 8, 58 and 59. Let me just jump over there because I don't know if you guys had it up there. John 8:58, it says this. It says, Jesus said to them, Jesus is saying to you right now, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So God wants you to know who he is in your life. He says, most surely I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. So God is saying to you this morning, if you keep my word, Kim, if you keep my statutes, my ordinance, you shall not see death. Does it make sense? It made a whole lot of sense to me. Jesus was not yet claiming that he had lived before Abraham. He was claiming that he existed way before Abraham. And, you know, when I think about how great God is, we got to really think how great God is in our circumstances and what's going on in our life. And why is all these things happening to me, God? Why are these things happening to that person and not me? Why is this going on? He says that I am God. I want you to first get this, to know that I created everything. I'm God. I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, that which was and is to come, the Almighty, the Everlasting. I am the Jehovah Jireh. I'm the one that provides everything for you. John 8:51. I want to go back up to John 8:51. It goes on to saying on 8:51. It says, most assuredly I say, if anyone keeps my word, that he shall never see death. If anyone keeps my word, John 9:25. John 9:25. It goes on to saying this. It says, one thing I do know, that I was blind and now I see. God wants you to underline your Bible from this moment. You were blind, now you see. We were blind, now you see. I was blind, now you see. Underline that. One thing that I know is that I was blind, now I see. Even I wear these, I can see. I'm going to go back again to Matthew 6:22. The lamp of the body is the eye. When your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Let's go to Luke 11:34 and 35. It says in Luke 11:34, it says, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. I want to talk about our eye. What are we seeing with our eye? What is God telling you for this new year? What is the vision that God is giving to you? Is he talking to you about anything? Amen. It is said that you are what you eat. Have you ever heard they say that, oh, you're what you eat? And even more, that you are what you see. You know, you are what you see. I know for a fact that this God that I serve, he has been a great God in my life. He has done so many things in my life. King David said, I will see nothing wicked before my eyes. Psalms 101, verses 3, I will see nothing wicked. He says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away, and it shall not cling to me. What are you watching on TV? What are you watching in the magazines? What are you doing? He says, I will set nothing. God is telling me to tell you right now, do not see anything wicked with your eyes, because it plants a seed. It plants a seed in your mind. I will not set nothing. This was King David. And those of you that know the story of King David, he was a mighty man of valor. He was a man after God's own heart. But he still did some wicked things. And now he's come to know that only because God loved David. Why? He said, God, why did you love David so much? Why do you love my husband so much? Why do you love that person so much when you see all the nonsense that they do? You see what they're doing is not of God. Why do you love them? I don't understand this, God. And God said, he has a heart after me. That's my problem, not yours. I love him because he has a heart after me. Because then we start looking at people. Don't look at people. Keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on God. Don't listen to stuff that is negative. He says, get that out of your way. The negativity, anything that's negative, don't listen to it. Because we are what we see and what we hear. I said this to the ladies at the breakfast, that we could miss it. We could miss our own blessing. We could miss the miracle. We could miss what God has for us because we're paying attention to what other people are telling us what to do. And how could they tell us what to do if God has nothing to do with it? You have to be careful what you're listening to. So David says, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. I shall not cling to them. Get away from them. You could love them from a distance. If they're not encouraging you, if they're not doing good for you, if you can't do good for them, get away from them, because sometimes we just got to separate. Not to say that God doesn't love them and God doesn't love me. It's just that sometimes we just got to separate ourselves from those things. It says that a person who concentrates on what is good is healthy. You become healthy if you just focus on what God is teaching you, and if you focus on the Word of God, and you focus, and the light comes on, the body is all well, it's whole, you get to see. He says to focus on the things that are good, you become healthy. I'm healthy. My spirit is healthy. I might have some issues medically that you have no idea about, but I'm healthy in my spirit and my soul. We're talking about a healthy soul, and we're talking about a healthy spirit. Can you say I'm healthy in my spirit and my soul? Can you say that? You know, we really need to think about it. I'm healthy in my spirit and my soul. Amen. God wants you to be healthy in this hour. He wants us to be a healthy church, but it's a process. We're going to go through some stuff, and God's bringing families. He's removed families. He's bringing back families. This is something that he told me in my spirit. He told me in my praying closet. I'm going to be bringing new friends are coming into your life. Old friends are coming back. Your job is just to love them. Your job is just to love those around you. And how do we love? And it turns out that the whole thing that Helen Keller talked about, the revelation that came out in her eyes, was the love. It was the love. Because she found a true love in God. So I found that true love of God. It took me a long journey. Maybe some of you, it won't take a long journey to truly love. But we got to love one another in the body of Christ, because Jesus Christ is love. And because we've been so hurt and we've been so wounded in our hearts, that an unforgiveness will stop everything for you. There must be forgiveness. And we must let things go. You got to let things go. But we hang on to stuff. He says, let it go. He said, tell him, let it go. What happened yesterday is gone. You can never get it back. Today you're going to live as it's the last day on earth. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us that. Don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow is not promised to you and I. It's today. Today is a day of salvation if you don't know God. So it goes on to saying that God wants good vision. He wants to see our church, you know, it should be healthy. Our church should be healthy. Our family should be healthy. Our sisters and brothers should be healthy. But if you see an unhealthy soul, you don't kick them down. You bring them back up with you. You don't look at them like, oh, I don't have time for them, because somebody had time for you and I. You don't look at them down and say, oh, that one's just, you know, because I've been there. I did it. And because I have to go through it, I could tell you that I know the truth. The truth that set me free, it's going to set you free. Okay, so then I could tell people about my husband. He's in the hospital. He's sick. I don't want nobody feeling sorry. I don't want nobody coming crying. I want the positive. I want the word spoken over him. The word of God says that he will live. The things that are going on, that's just what's going on in the atmosphere. Amen. So what comes out of here and what we see? It says, but a person who focuses on what is bad, which is the false teaching of the Word of God. Because the world is already bad. This is where you have to be so in tune of what are you reading? What are we teaching? Are we teaching the Word of God? We teach the Word of God. Go and check the Scriptures. Go get a different version of the Bible. Do whatever it's going to take. But you need to search the Scriptures for yourself. I did. And I could tell what's deceptive out there. Deception has come into the body of Christ. false teachers, false prophets, and what are we listening to and what are we seeing with our eyes? So what is 2020? 2020 is perfect vision. We are going into year 2020. God is giving you perfect vision for the new year. Amen. He says, I'm giving you good vision. When you didn't see, now you're going to see. You're going to see. You're going to like, oh. I remember when the Lord gave me my eyesight. And it's going to sound kind of funny, but when the Lord gave me an eyesight, I said, oh, my God, there's trees out in front of my house. Oh, my God. There's birds in the sky. Didn't ever pay attention to anything. I walked around ignoring everything around me because I was so blind. So blind. I hung out in front of a house, in front of a big old tree and a wall, and that was my life. Every day we would go out there, party, and sit in there. Never noticed that there was a big tree. When God gave me my eyesight, 2020 vision, when he gave me my eyesight, I started saying, oh, my God, look at how beautiful. Never looked at it. I got eyesight probably, I want to say, when I was 22, but didn't take it to heart till 1998. Listen to what I'm saying. You could say you've been saved 30 years. You could say, I would be very careful. I'm very careful. I got saved in 1978, but I didn't start serving God till 1998. Count the years. I knew God. I thought I was doing the things of God, but I wasn't. So we got to be careful. Oh, I'm a proud Christian. I've been saved for 30 years. God, what is, you know, I would be afraid to say that. But I've been saved, and I could see since 1998. If you think about it, almost 20 years, I don't know, the last 20 years. And how long have you been saved? I was like just so excited. I wanted to tell everybody I could see. I could see. I was so happy that I could see. It was something great to me. And I had 20/20 vision. There was nothing wrong with my eyes. I didn't wear glasses. I could not see. So God is saying that he's going to give you more understanding, more knowledge, more wisdom, more clarity. How much more do we need? How much more do we need, right? He said that he showed me in a vision. Guess what the Lord showed me in a vision? That the church was a big sleeping giant. Just saying, show me this years ago. That the church was a big sleeping giant. I went to this meeting, and there was a lot of people in the meeting, and the women were all dressed up. And this was at the old church I used to go to, and there was a guest speaker there. I know Loopy and Pastor Pete were there, and some of us were there. They probably don't remember, but and all these women were sitting, and they had, like, you know, dressed up and the hats and the coats, and, you know, they look good. You know, they're all coming to church, and all the front, I'm sitting in the back, and I see them like this. They're not asleep, but I see them like this. God says the church has become a big sleeping giant. I said, what? I'm like, oh, my God. So I'm thinking, okay, God, I didn't understand it then, but it's for now because our church has become a big sleeping giant. God is waking up the church in this hour. He's waking up. He's restoring. He's we're rededicating. You know, all these things. There's a lot of things that are going on right now, but I want to kind of stay on track right here. That we are a big sleeping giant. He says that he's waking up the church in this hour. It doesn't matter what church you go to. And I think the sad thing about, we could go to church. We only have one God. We have one God. He says, I need you to settle. I need to settle you. I need you to quit running around going, I'm not saying us, our church, but I want to settle you. And he settles us for a reason. We need to focus. We need to have vision. We need to see where God is telling my husband and I, what is the hour for our church? Where is he taking? We've always had vision. I think that's why we're still here. But we had to get it right. And this year, he says, now I'm going to place you and I'm going to put you where you need to be. It says that his word is so free that we've turned it. And I shared it with the brother that God says that this word is free. We have turned his house into a house of prostitution. Just saying. This is what the Lord showed me in a vision, and he spoke to my heart that my word was never supposed to be for sale. Please, if somebody needs a Bible, buy them a Bible. I needed a Bible. I didn't want to buy it because it's a man, all the church wants is my money. And it wasn't true, but I said that because I wasn't able to see then the way I see it now. And I understand the concept of giving and reaping and doing and sowing. I understand that now. But when God gave me my Bible, I said, okay, Lord, you're real. Because I said, I don't want a Bible. I was a brat. If you're God, you're going to give me a Bible. This is how I want it. This is how I talk to God. If you are truly who you are, you're going to give me a Bible. And he truly gave me my Bible, and I'll never say that again about God not hearing me. again, this is the time I believe that God is going to be doing major, major, major miracles. We might have had some losses. I know that James Conrad passed away this year. It'll be a year. It'll be a year next week. How fast is the time going? How fast? It says that one day is 1,000 years with God. We're in the third day, people. I don't know if you want to listen to what I'm saying. We're in the third day. One day is 1,000 years with God. And so what are we doing with our time? What are we doing with the church? Why are we even here? I want to see growth. My vision is wanting to see souls come into the kingdom of God. I don't stay put. So this is where the Lord had me get this backpack. You want to know what's in this backpack? It's so funny because I said, I know Pastor Pete had did one about carrying stuff. And so when we come into the house of God, we bring a lot of junk with us, right? I mean, we bring a lot of junk. This bag is really, really heavy. It's so heavy. But you know what's in this bag? I'm not bringing junk. I've never brought junk. I just needed to get it right. You know what's in here? And God is telling me to tell you guys to do this. This is what's in here. You know, the Lord... And I'm so humble in the sense that God called me into the kingdom of God. This is what's in here. This is what the Lord says that he wants to do with you. These are all the writings that God has spoke to me, giving me vision, giving me self-worth, talking to Denise, talking to me, and telling me what time it is, telling me what I'm to do, how I'm to do it. And it took me all these years. Not only this, I have boxes and boxes from when I got saved. And he's saying, now go back and read what I told you because it's happening now. Everything that I spoke to you is happening now. If you're one that does this, go back and read. And if you're not one that does this, then start doing it because God wants to talk to you personally. He says, Denise, I am the Alpha. I am your Savior. I am your God. Don't listen to man. Man did not call you. I called you. Get it right. Let them know who I am because I've set you apart. I've set you apart to be a voice for me. I don't just get up here just to talk and just to talk about this imaginary God. This God is real. He told me how to talk to people, and yet I didn't do it. I said, Lord, but what about that one that's all messed up? He goes, they're like miry clay in the ocean. When it comes, it's like miry clay. They're going to go back. He says, I have you in the palm of my hands, Denise. I have you in the palm of my hands. He says, tell them I've known everything that they've been through. I know what they're going through right now because he told me this. Take the servanthood off your back, Denise, and put it in your heart. Quit doing things for the church because you want to be noticed. Put it in your heart. Wake up. He says, wake up. I have it in the palm of your hands. Wake up. Take the servanthood off your back and put it in your heart. You're nobody in this kingdom of God. Too many people have put their faces and their pictures on the front line over Jesus. He says, I don't need them to do that. No man is going to take glory from me. No woman is going to take glory from me. I will tear it down. This is what he told me. Why would he tell me, take the servanthood off your back, Denise? Because I was angry when I was working in the church. Because I don't see so-and-so and so-and-so. And he said, well, what are you doing? Take it off your back and put it in your heart. Do it for me. And I said, okay, God. Talk about correction. Anybody that knows correction is me. I said, okay, Lord. Consuming fire. I'm consuming fire. So I go listen to these women. I go listen to the church. I go listen to these pastors. But I know who's telling the truth. Because according to the word, he's already spoken to me. Amen? Want to learn about the Hebrew. I want to know the numbers. I want to know the signs. Then he took me all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Read a little bit, Denise. I'll tell you everything about me. You don't need to go to nobody. You don't need to go to nobody. I've given it to you freely in your hands. And I'm here weary. I'm here confused. I'm here upset. No. He says, no. Time after night, time after time, I could pick this up. Jeremiah 23:29. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell the dream. And he who has my word, let him speak my word faithful. What is a shaft to the wheat, says the Lord. I'm just picking this up, what God told me then. Another one, Matthew. You know, he tells you to prepare. get up early. Seek my word early and I'll speak to you. This is not junk that I'm bringing into the house of God. This is not trash. This is not the old. This is something that God gave me to give to the church years ago, and it's time now. I've raised you for such a time now. And if people didn't accept you, it's okay because I called you. They will see the God in you that I should have shown long time ago, but it's now. And I had to do this for myself because I said, you know what, Lord, I'm confused. I don't know who to listen to. He told me about government. He told me how much he loved me. Read the Songs of Solomon, Denise, and I'll tell you how much I love you. Because nobody loved. I didn't know what was love. I didn't have a childhood. I didn't have a mother. I didn't have a father to raise me. And then people could judge me. He says, no, there's only one judge, Denise. Let him go. I'm your judge. I have you hidden in the cliffs of the rock. I put you away for a while. He's put you away for a while. What are we doing? He says, stir them back up. He's stirring us up back in this hour. I'm not the only one that knows these things. I'm not the only one, but I apply them to my life. I apply everything to the life. You know that the Lord told me about the TV show. The Lord told me about this church. He gave me a vision. He gave me a dream about this church. And we're here. I'm here. He told me when we're leaving the church over there. I was the happiest as a lark. When I left the Covina church, nobody knew what I was going through over there. I was dying there. I was dying in the backyard. See, junk that came into the church because it defiled the house of God. But I didn't know how to do it with love because so much junk. And you know, we're celebrating Hanukkah right now, and they're on the 8th. The 7th candle, I don't know what's the 30th, the 22nd or the 30th. And people think about Hanukkah. They don't celebrate Christmas. They celebrate a declaration and a decree and a miracle of the oil and the Maccabee revolt. And I started looking at that. We celebrate Christmas. It's a lie. Jesus was not born on the 25th. He was not born on the 25th. It's a pagan holiday, just like Easter. But we choose as a people. I was brought up, why take it away? Because we celebrate Jesus' birth. Why take it away? Why tell the kids, hey, there's no Jesus, there's no Santa Claus is what they should be saying. We're celebrating Jesus. Why take it away? If even though it's just a tradition that we came up with, but then here you have Hanukkah, and they're celebrating a miracle of the oil. Because the oil lasted 8 days when it was only for one day. And God showed up, and this is where God said, this is miracle hour. But then the Lord told me, it wasn't just because of these 8 days, the miracle. I'm a miracle working God every day. Not just this, but because of tradition. And it wasn't even about the oil. It was about the defilement, because they had more oil. They could go get more oil. It said that it took them a while, maybe a week or whatever, to go get oil. It wasn't even about the oil, because the oil that was in the temple had been defiled. And they have defiled everything in the house of God. And they were bringing everything back new. They were rebuilding. They were rededicating. This is what Hanukkah was. And this is what God is saying to me. So much defilement has come into the house of God. Why? Why? Because I just believe this. That people don't know his word. And then for someone like me to know all the word and still had it wrong. And still was unhealthy. And still didn't get it right. You know, I got it right now. Because I got it right now because my job is just to love. That's all my job is, to love. My job isn't to judge you. My job isn't to condemn you. You're not to judge me. You're not to condemn me. We're to love one another. And he says to love. We got it so twisted in the church. Do you think that that church there, they're going to heaven and we're not because we don't belong to that church? Because that's what it's become. The church has been divided because I'm not going to the Calvary or I'm not going to there. They won't even talk to me. And if they do talk to me, they'll give me a hug. But I got to start like I'm a baby. I can't just walk. I'm a child of God. You know, here I am. I want a preacher. I want a teacher, whatever. No, they're going to look at you. But how dare us look at other people in other churches and saying, well, are they going to heaven? I'm going to heaven with them, and they don't even want to talk to me. We've caused division in the house of God. So what happens? It repeats itself. Life just repeats itself. So God is raising those that are willing to build the house of God again today in this hour and in this generation. That's all it is. He wants people to rebuild the house of God. Bring back the holiness. Bring back the true worship of God. Take the false gods out of the church. Take all the things that you're putting before God. Get rid of it. He's saying get rid of it. Oh, I don't have nothing. That right there, get rid of that. I'm not doing anything wrong. That's right there. It's just saying, oh, you need to get rid of something, amen. You know, this is I think about how God has called me and has showed me these things. You know, it's just amazing to me that every question that I have, it came out. I said one time, I said, God, don't you see what they're doing? I was at the Dream Center. I did ministry at the Dream Center. I was so judgmental about everything. I knew God. I just knew God. Man, God, don't you see what they're doing? Don't you see them stealing the gas card and letting all of us, and I was included. They're giving me the gas card and filling up my car. Don't you see what they're doing, these leaders at the Dream Center, the leaders at this church? God, don't you see them? I don't want to be part of this. I thought I was just above everything that I would see. And he says, Denise, he took me to Job. Wouldn't I consider it? Don't you know I see that? Don't you know I'll consider it? It's nothing to do with you. I'm not giving you those eyes to see them. I'll take care of it. I know what's going on. You ask God anything, anything. Why is my husband in the hospital? Why is he sick? Why did James die when he died? Why did that person get in that car accident? I have a friend that I worked with in Monrovia, her niece. She got saved at our church. She got saved at CCC, and she just killed her daughter in a car accident. How could that be, God? How could that be? I'm a child of God. How could that be? Because we get sidetracked and we start looking at other stuff. I get saved, but I don't serve God. I got saved in 79. I said I didn't start serving God till 1998. What happened to all those other years? He showed me in the book of Nehemiah was desolate. 15 years. I was away 15 years. He gave Nehemiah a burden to rebuild the wall. He gave me a burden to rebuild my life all over again. Put yourself in the Bible. He says, I want to rebuild you. I want you to have a burden. I've given burdens to people, not to tear you down, but to build you up. To build you up in the house of God. He says in Psalms 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. I'm working it all out right now for you. But we get in his way. He says, don't get in his way. God says, I am your refuge and strength and every present help in trouble. Do you need help right now? I'll help you in trouble. I'll help you in trouble. The peace of God. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You're not sitting here just because you want to sit here. You're sitting here because he's called you to be here. Amen. He says, I have graven you in the palms of my hands. Your walls are all before me, says the Lord. You shall seek me and find me. So if you seek him, you will find him. He's telling you, seek me, you will find me. Why are we so desolate? Why are there divorces in the church? Why are there wayward children? Why are our children on drugs? Why are our children away, my grandchildren? Why? We need to pray, people. We need to pray. God showed me that he's given all of us authority to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'm talking to the believers. Do you know anybody sick right now? I can't get in God's way. We can't get mad at God if he doesn't do something. There's consequences in our life. We have sickness that came into the body because of sin. And we're going to blame God and get mad because my sister died of cancer. My sister died of a heart attack. And we're going to get mad at God? If we truly knew God, if we truly knew him, we wouldn't get mad at him. We say, okay, Lord, I'm going to take better care of myself. Okay, Lord, I know that it's all the junk that came into the world when man fell in the garden. Do we know that? Do we really know that and get angry? Dennis and I have such a peace today like never before. I have a peace that surpasses the understanding of a human mind. And you can only have that when you come to know God the way that we know God. Dennis and I have the peace. Am I going to cry if something happened? You better believe it. I don't think anybody should knock at my door. For maybe a day or two. But there's a time to mourn. There's a time to be born and there's a time to die. There's a time to be happy and there's a time to be sad. Isn't that what the Bible says? And so why did the Christian get all chaotic and get all crazy and bent that things are not going my way? What are you doing with God? What stuff are you carrying in your backpack? I can't get mad at nobody. I'm even trying to see for myself, am I going to make it? Because we get in the flesh. Who am I to judge you? Who am I to say anything to you? That all this was speaking to me first, and once I got a hold of it, it should be speaking to others. Amen? Yes. Let me go ahead and, I just got sidetracked. I want to go to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, and he talks about the vision. Write that vision down, people. Write what God is telling you. We have ministries here right now. We have the convalescent where Cindy and Kathy goes. They go to the convalescent ministry. We have homeless ministry. These are the heart of God. These ministries are the heart of God. We have these ministries. Somebody came and wanted to give jackets. God bless you. They wanted to give jackets. I remember when we did a women's meeting, somebody came up with this idea about shoes. She wanted to give shoes. I said, well, then write it down. You want to do something in the church? Write it down. Show me your plan. What is God telling you to do? Is God telling you anything? Write it down. You want to teach the children? Let me know what has God showed you to do. What is he telling you to do? And I remember that this lady came and she wanted to do shoes. And I said, okay. And I said, well, so write it down. Show me the plan. What do you want to do? Then let's start asking for shoes. That lady had a whole bedroom full of shoes because she had a vision to do something. I'm asking God to give each and every one of you a vision to write it down and let's see it come to pass. What did you do last year? Look at your last year. What did you do for God last year? I could say that, okay, we have, Dennis and I, we had death come in. We had tragedy come in. We were at the mountaintop. We went down. We had an open door for the TV show. We had to move the church. There's a lot of things that happened. I could remember. We went to the outreach and the homeless. We went to go see the sick. We met new families. Those are the things that we should be talking about. What did you do last year? What has God put in your heart? I'm still trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do. No. He says, write it down. Though it tarries. Let me show you this. Write this down. If you don't know it, I'm telling you, I'm talking to seasoned Christians, but if you're still sitting there and thinking that, oh, you're doing all that you want to do and you haven't done anything, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. You have a ministry right in your own yard. You have children, don't you? You have grandchildren. You have people that are not saved. But I can't pray. I don't know how to pray. Then learn how to just pray. Talk to God. But I'm not an intercessor. Talk to God. He says, just talk to God and he'll give it to you. Amen? Talk to God. It goes on to saying that. I wanted to get mine. It goes on to saying that this was a divine oracle from the prophet. He says, write the vision and make it clear. It says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets. I wrote the vision. I made it plain on tablets. Do you know that everything that I've written down has come to pass? I'm not trying to, I mean, I know you're probably not interested, but I did what the Bible told me to do. I just wrote it down. When I wanted a husband, I wrote it down. God, I want a husband. God, so I started preparing. He said, well, I need you to prepare. So I started putting stuff in the trunk of my car. I bought me a chair, bought me some cologne, got some t-shirts, you know, got him whatever that I liked, got him a blanket, and I drove around in my car. It says, write it down and make it plain. It says, the Lord answered me and said, Denise, write the vision and make it plain. Kim, write it, make it plain on tablets. That he who runs, who reads it. Now you go after it. You chase it. I gave you that dream. I gave you that vision. He didn't never called us to be pastors. That was something that was thrown to us. But we said, how could I say no? God's been too good to me. How could I tell God no? I can't come up here and preach because God's been too good to me. How could I say no because my son or my daughter, my husband, my mother is sick and I can't come and preach? He's been too good to me. Has he been good to you? Has he been good to you? Go on to, on Habakkuk it says that this was a divine. Write the vision and make it plain on the tablets that they may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. It hasn't lied to me once. God's word has not lied to me once. And he will. It's not something that it's like, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. Did God tell you something last year, 2 years ago, last month? It says it's an appointed time. What? Just wait for it. It says, but at the end it'll speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. It took me 10 years to do that conference at the Angelus Temple. That wasn't for anybody but me, for my faith to shoot up sky high. 10 years, that vision. 20 years of something that's happening now. It took 20 years. But God says, I'm going to start making it fast. Things are going to start happening fast because we're living in the last days, people. The last days are here. It goes on to saying that Habakkuk, I'm going to go for it. Habakkuk 2:1. Go up to 2:1. Was that the next one? It says, I will stand my watch. If you don't have 2:1, Margie? Okay. I will stand my watch and set, because I'm not reading from my Bible. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart. And I will watch to see what he'll say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. I will stand my watch and set myself, not you, I'm going to stand my watch. I'm an intercessor. I'm going to get up in the morning. I want to know what you're saying to me, God. Watch and see what he'll say to me and when I will answer when I'm corrected. Don't you know that I've been corrected so many times by God from his word? From people. But I have to go look in the word. And he's corrected me through the word of God. We will get corrected. Don't get offended. Don't get offended if we get corrected, because God says that I'll correct those that I love, those that I chasten. Be still and know that I'm God. He says, I stand at my watch and on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what will he answer when I'm corrected. God has stationed me as a watchman on a wall. God says he has stationed you. Where has he stationed you? Where has he put you? In the body of Christ. Where are you in the body of Christ? He says that he stationed him. He's a watchman on the wall. I'm an intercessor. Amen. I know what God's called me to do. How do I know what God's called me to do? How do I know? Because I spend time. So Habakkuk, he was stationed as a watchman to look out for the nations. We need to think bigger than what we're thinking right now. We need to think of what God is telling us to do. He was thinking big, and it was all about souls. God commanded him to be a watchman on the wall. Station yourself on the rampart and watch what he will say to me. He stationed him, and it was all about souls because he was fully aware of who he was. Are you fully aware of who you are? Do you know who you are? Do you know where you're going? What is your vision for 2020? It goes on to saying that when I was corrected, when you're corrected, you have your submission is to God, not to me. When you come in here, you're not submitted under me. You're submitted under God. My submission is under God first and foremost. We don't want to tell you what to do. Somebody just told me recently, you're always trying to tell me what to do. What an awful thing to say, because that person needs to grow. That person needs to grow because I needed to grow. Never do I want to tell you what to do. This is who's going to tell you what to do. Amen? That's going to tell you what to do. Habakkuk 2 says, write the vision down and make it plain on the tablets that you may run with it. This message from the Lord was intended to be read and pondered by many people. This wasn't just for me. This was for people. This whole word is not just for me, it's for you. What is God telling you in this hour, in this 2020? What is the vision that God has called you to? What is God telling you? Can you write it down? This is what God. Maybe I need to learn the Bible a little bit more. Maybe I need to understand the books of the Bible. Maybe I want to start a ministry. You want to start a ministry? You want to do something? Write it down. Make it plain. Come and say, hey, pastor, this is... And then I say, okay, good idea. I'm going to come in agreement with you. I'm not going to write it down for you. I'm not going to tell you what to do. God has to tell you what to do. All we're to do is just come in agreement. Somebody came and said, I want to do the children's ministry. This is what I have. Okay, this is what I'm doing. Okay. And then somebody else could come and say, I want to do this ministry, and then I don't see them anymore. They don't come and tell me. There's nothing written down. I remember my son-in-law wrote this whole program about our church. He had a vision. But he got discouraged because he didn't see it come to pass within a month. It took me 10 years. It took 20 years. Don't get discouraged if things are not happening the way that you want them to happen. Don't get discouraged. Don't walk out, because it takes a time. It's a process. Amen? Oh, my Jesus. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9. I'm just going to go ahead and read these scriptures. The Lord is not slack concerning the promise, as someone counts slackness, but he is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the repentance. So God is saying right now that he's not slack on the promises that he's given to you. Has God promised you anything? Can you name one thing that God promised you and he hasn't done? One thing. He says that he's not slack and to concern the things that. Habakkuk chapter 3, 2. It says, O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. Everything that the Lord spoke to me, I became fearful of this God. O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. I'm asking God to revive the work in the midst of the years, to revive you in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known in wrath, remember mercy. God, give me mercy. I just went through something so bad. I need your mercy, God. But he says to revive. So I'm asking God to revive what's happened to you. If something tragic has happened to you, I'm asking God to revive it because he says he would. He's not a God that would lie. He said he would revive. Tell them I'm going to revive everything that they've lost. Everything that's been broken, I'm going to revive it. I'm going to bring it back to life. That's his word. Amen. That's his word right there. Habakkuk 3:19, Margie, or whoever's back there. I'm sorry. It says, the Lord is my strength. God said to tell you, he is your strength. I'm not. Dennis is not. Pastors here are not. Pastor Ricardo's not your strength. The Lord is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, in the high mountaintop. He will make me walk on my high hills and the chief museum with my strings and my instrument. God says that he is your strength. He's going to make you go high into high places if you just be obedient. He wants to give you these things. But if you're not obedient into his word and his commandments, his statutes and his ordinance, how in the heck do you think we get them? Just because I'm Denise? Just because you're who you are? There's some consequences that, and then there's some commandments that come along with it. Amen? Goes on, I want to go to Habakkuk chapter 3, 2. That jumps over to Habakkuk 3, 2. The soul of the prophet. It says, the soul of the prophet is revived. Revive us, Lord. The eyes of the prophet were reassured. God is saying to reassure you what he's speaking to you and what you're seeing in this hour, to reassure. He says that the prophet was reassured. So, oh Lord, I have heard your speech. So he says, I'm being reassured by God. Whatever God has told you, start doing it. If he hasn't told you anything, start asking him. You were not just put on this earth to sit here and die. You were not here just to sit here and wither away. You were not put here just to be put here. You were born. You were created in God's image. So be a mouthpiece, the hands for God, the eyes for God, the ears for God. What are you doing? It says that 2020 is vision. 2020 is vision. The Hebrew calendar is 5780. It was the mouth. So vision and mouth. What is vision and mouth? He says that you're going to declare and decree a thing. Why does it take me to pray for you when I could come in agreement with you if you are a child of God? Are you walking in the fullness of God? Can I trust you to go pray for Pastor Dennis because you're in that place to pray for Pastor Dennis? Can I trust you to do those things? Am I declaring and believing, or I'm with my head down, oh, he's going to die, oh, it's just the sickness? No, I'm not going to say that. You're not going to hear that from my mouth, and I don't need to hear it from anybody else's mouth, amen? So he's saying that this is a decade of decreeing stuff. He's restoring, he's transitioning, he's shifting, he's changing, he's healing. He's healing the miracles of deliverance. If there's something that you need to be set free, why should I ask? You need to ask God to set you free. You need to ask God, these are the things that I need in the hour. God is not a man that he should lie. Numbers 23:19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said it, and will he not do it? Or has he spoke it? Has he spoke it? Will he not make it good? He has spoken all this to me. Everything that he spoke to me is good. He's made it good in my life. So if he made it good in my life, he's going to make it good in yours. Amen? Jeremiah 1:12. Let's stand with Jeremiah 1:12. And I have this right here. Let's go ahead and stand Jeremiah 1:12. Look what it says here. Please, somebody, write this down. Please, write it down. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, Denise. You have seen well. For now I am ready to perform my word. Can somebody write that down? Is somebody listening to what's being said? That he says that you're going to declare a thing, you're going to decree and declare a thing, and it shall be established. You're going to lay your hand on the sick, and they shall be healed. That God is reviving the church in this hour. That God is not looking for superstars. He's looking for people that will just glorify him and his name only. It's about Jesus Christ, the Almighty. Jesus is coming back, people. Jesus is coming back for a church spotless. What are we doing? Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, Denise, for I am ready to perform. You have seen well, Jeremiah. I'm ready to perform what I have said I'm going to do. Does anybody believe what God is doing right now and what he's saying? He says, I'm doing a new thing here on this earth. He told me he was doing a new thing maybe years ago. How many times do we hear that? How many times that he's doing a new thing? This time he's doing a new thing. The Lord said to me, you have seen well, Denise, for I will perform my work. Every word in this Bible, God is going to perform it. You're going to see the earthquakes. You're going to see the wars. You're going to see death. But he says, I will perform it, but I'm protecting my children because you're not of this world. I have nothing to do with this world. You should have nothing to do with this world. I don't belong here. I'm so blessed in this hour. I don't see nothing that's going on in the world. You can't tell me anything about the president. You can't tell me anything about the government. My job is to pray for the president, pray for Israel, pray for the sick, pray for the lost. I could care less what they're arguing about because guess who's going to intervene all of that? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the great I am, the wonderful one, the El Shaddai, the Jehovah Jireh, the God that sees, the God that provides everything that you and I need. Do you have a vision? Do you have a vision for 2020? Let's get that vision and let's start putting it to use. Amen. I need you to grab a hand. Grab a hand. God is going to do some mighty things in this hour. Grab a hand. God is going to do some mighty, mighty works in this hour. If God said it, he's going to do it. If God said it, he's going to do it. If God said it, he's going to do it. If God said it, he's going to do it. You have seen well. I will perform my word now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, as we close this service in this hour, I lift up every person that is here in this room listening with the ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, that you are giving clarity to the body of Christ, that they will see greater sight, they will have greater understanding, greater wisdom, greater knowledge. I thank you, Father, that we serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. I thank you, Heavenly Father, you're coming back for a people, for a spotless church. I'm asking, Father, that you would forgive us of our sins in this hour, that anything that is displeasing you, that we may glorify you, Father God. We thank you for a forgiveness of our sins, that we come humbly, my God, that you would use us in these last hours mightily, that souls would come into the kingdom of God to get all the nonsense out of the church, to bring back the church, to bring it back and revive the church, that we're one body and one God, the God of Israel. And we want to pray for those right now, Father God, that are sick in body. We come in agreement with the brothers and sisters as they lay their hands or they touch their hands on one another, that whatever's going on, any sick elements, and that it's gone in Jesus' name, that it's gone. They're healed. And we lift up Pastor Dennis right now in agreement, right now. Heavenly Father, we put him to the throne of grace. We give him to you, Father God, that your will be done in his life, Father God. That he knows who he is, Heavenly Father, and that he's healed from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. In Jesus' holy name, you said, I see well, and you will perform it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Thank you. I think we're dismissed.